We are back with Michelle Ciccarelli-Lirac, founder of the Barry Good Food Foundation. And we also have back with us Sarah Rathbone, the co-founder of Dr. Fish and founder of Community Seafood. And replacing Tommy Gomes and in for him is Corinne Bush. She's a clinical nutritionist, executive vice president, certified nutrition specialist, and a long resume. But I don't want to take any more time because Michelle wants to ask questions about nutrition and seafood, I believe, right?
Yes, we want to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly about eating fish. Take it away, Corinne.
Well, thank you for being here. You know, fish is an almost perfect food, clean fish. It a serving of fish contains about a half of our daily protein needs for the average American. It also contains B vitamins and minerals like selenium, which are really important for protecting us from toxicity, which we're going to talk about in a minute. And then certain fish are sources of omega-3 fats, and these are the deep cold water fish like salmon and mackerel and herring and sardines. These fats are almost gone from our food supply, and hence they're almost gone from the cells of human beings. They are vitally important to protect us in terms of their anti-inflammatories.
Important for our brain, aren't they?
Very important for the brain and brain development in fetuses.
I wonder if
and
there's
children.
A, is there a nexus between that and maybe Alzheimer's or some other degenerative brain disorders or diseases? I wonder.
Well, there certainly is. There's plenty of research to indicate, yes, that as our omega-3 levels decline, many, many chronic diseases are on the rise. And also, the decline in omega-3s is actually reducing our lifespans.
Mm. How about that?
So fish is good.
Clean fish is good.
Yes.
Eat
okay.
more fish.
Yeah. Well, but we were talking, you know, last night we had that conversation with our friend at the Scripps Research Institute, Scripps Institute of Oceanography.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mouthful. About, you know, toxicity issues. And this was raised in our last segment, you know, where there was a scare about mercury and there's some concern, right? But is that the only concern? Is it the biggest concern? Is the information that we have good? And is are there any easy answers?
Yeah, well, there's certainly no easy answers. But what we do know is that there are about 200 contaminants that are measured in fish. And the thing about it is that they make their way up the food chain. And so they start with the microalgae, and as the fish is eaten by larger and larger fish, those poisons concentrate and amplify. And so if we're eating a fish that is at the top of the food chain, it might well be contaminated with toxicants that, you know, food is information. So these toxins actually scramble the signals in our cells and our hormones and are responsible for growing rates of many of the diseases that we have today.
A lot of that depends on where the fish came from, though, right?
Definitely.
So that just brings us right back to knowing a little bit more about where your fish is coming from, who is catching it, and even how it's caught. There's some incredible information about that out there. I mean, if you insist on continuing to eat those top predators, you are going to be taking more contaminants into your system.
And there's other reasons not to do it too, right?
I mean, there are other reasons. Obviously, we're just, let's focus on nutrition here. You can diversify your palate, eat lower down on the food chain, and already you're making a healthier choice, not only for the sustainability of those top predators, by spreading the effort and focus of the American populace across many more different types of species, but also in terms of the nutrients and the toxin loads that you're taking in. But fishing method also plays into this big question here. I can think of one right off the top of my head, which is the albacore. Hook and line caught or troll caught albacore tuna, while it is a top predator, that type of method automatically selects for younger fish, and younger fish have lower toxin levels and lower levels of mercury. And for some reason, over time and as the fish ages, omega-3s start to leach out of that fish. So not only are the younger tuna lower in contaminants, lower in mercury, but they actually have three times more omega-3s than their older brothers and sisters, I suppose. Mm. So that for me, that really plays into knowing sure. who your fisherman is and how it was caught.
Well, and I think, too, that the major thing is to look first at where we can, I'm speaking as a human health nutritionist, where we can leave these toxins out of our systems, and exactly what you said, Sarah. And then are there ways that we can handle toxins perfectly, and actually we can't handle them perfectly, but we can upregulate our own innate detoxification mechanisms. And there's
is the plastic in the oceans a big problem? We are passing some propositions now to help us ban plastics, plastic bags. Is that going to help?
I think so. Mm-hmm. You know, we see lowering levels of legacy toxins like mercury and DDT over the last 30 years. Mm-hmm. Now the plasticizers are just coming into the fore, so we really don't know. Even they haven't all been named. We haven't studied them. But certainly as we begin to put some research behind it and start to address it.
Well, they say those gyres, the plastic gyres out there are pretty daunting. So I hope we're making a dent in those. Have you you know much about that, Sarah, at all?
I do, in the sense that you do find it when you process a fish, when you cut open its stomach, you see whatever it is it has ingested over the last 24, 48 hours. And sometimes some of the things can be quite surprising. Mm. And what's really bad about, we're getting a little off topic with the nutrition aspect, but what's really disturbing is that often plastic bags can be mistaken as their target prey for a lot of these different species.
Jellyfish,
they look like jellyfish. Yeah. They look like some amorphous creature that species wants to eat, and they get ingested
that
way.
Well, I'll talk to Tommy Gomes at the break and see what he's, when he cuts them open, what he's found in there.
Yeah, there you go. Sure, surprising things.
I think the bottom line here is let's not get too obsessed with toxicity on the one hand, because if you're going to still eat the bag of Doritos, don't obsess about which fish and how big.
Right.
Okay, let's just get real for a minute.
Right.
On the other hand, you know, if you're going to go down the path of knowing your fish, knowing where it came from, it's important to know it, in addition to its where it was caught and how it was caught, its age, its size, you know, some more details about your fish. And why shouldn't you know that? Like, that's the kind of information we're trying to find about most things. And by the way, then you meet your fisherman. Get to know the person who caught it for you. You'd be pretty surprised. They live just down the road. Mm-hmm. Better for you, better for the neighborhood, better for the environment.
Are there things since we have a nutritionist here in the store, is there something, way we can identify which fish might be not so good to buy?
You hear
about colorizing and all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And,
well, what I like to do is look to really good research sites like Monterey Bay Aquarium, Seafood Watch, and the Environmental Defense Fund also has an excellent website that disseminates the information from lots of these groups that I point my clients to.
Mm.
So those are some resources.
Well, we'll put all that information on our... We have to take our little break, though, right now. It went so darn fast. But thank you, Corinne Bush, for being with us, and
thank
Sarah
you.
Rathbone.